Okay. Well, the gifts, one of the gifts was very much a good lead into the talk. That the creation there. I thought, good, I've chosen the right talk this afternoon. Just as we heard there, you know, that everything that you see here is here for a reason. It's just for us. And it has a purpose. And, you know, whatever it is, plants, animals, rocks, creation, stars up there, you know, it all has a meaning. And people, if you want to get rid of God, of course you've got to come up for an explanation, with an explanation for all of that stuff, don't you? Which is, keeps a lot of scientists in employment. just a couple of things I heard recently. Well, on the news, I think it was last night, they were talking about all these billionaires that are going into space exploration and they want to go to the moon. And who was the latest one? The guy that owns Amazon. He's the richest man in the world at the moment, Jeff Bezos. And he's got a thing called Blue Moon, you know, a little play on words, a song, famous song. But this capsule, it's 3.5 tonnes, lowers gently onto the moon and disgorges people onto the moon's surface. Why would you want to go there? I mean, there's no atmosphere, there's no water, there's no soil to grow things in. Correct me if I'm wrong, Brian. you know, it's just inhospitable. And after a while, you got over the novelty of being on the moon, I reckon you'd go nuts, you know, because the things, I mean, it's good for our soul, isn't it? Just looking at trees and grass and every breathing air and, you know, it's fairly good for our health, breathing air. So, you know, that's a complete... As Pastor Kevin would say, little joke. but on the other hand, the earth, I've just been reading through Genesis again recently. One verse that jumped out at me that never particularly jumped out at me before was Genesis 1 verse 20, which says, "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life." God said that. It's just, I just want to fill this water that I'm going to cover most of the earth's surface with teeming life. And he did that, didn't he? It's just incredible. And then he goes on to say, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. So I'm going to fill the water with living things and I'm going to fill the air with living things just to show off, basically. You know, you look under the surface. I mean, once we went up to Coral Bay, Mel completely freaked out because we put a mask on her face and said, put your head in the water. And this great big giant school of snapper swam by. And she dropped the thing and freaked out and said, I'm never going under that surface of that thing again. She has a morbid fear of the sea. But Sally and I, speaking of Sally, she's game for anything, went up to the end of the bay where the current comes down. You put your flippers and goggle on and just float down, looking at everything, the coral and all the big fish. And it's just full of life down there. And I heard on the radio, on ABC Radio on Friday morning driving around, the ABC science editor said they've discovered a fish in the depths of the sea where it's completely dark, no light gets down there, that can see vivid colours in the dark. Now, our eyes can't do that. You know, we've got the rods and the cones and all that, and we can only see in low light black and white, right? These fish can see red, blue and green, which is, you know, like a spectrum that they create TVs out of, isn't it? The red, blue and green. And they can see vivid colours in the dark. I just think, wow, Lord, you know, how clever are you? God said, let the water spring bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life. And they're still discovering things that are amazing. And just as we heard in that gift, you know, everything you see, everything you discover about this world, I've put that there for you. And everything seems to have God's little stamp on it. It's a clue. It's a clue about his plan and about our salvation and it's about Jesus Christ and all sorts of things. And the thing I particularly wanted to look at today is water itself. It's the most amazing thing. So, first of all, we'll just go up to John chapter 7. And when you not only look at the amazing things about water in the natural world, but in the Bible, God uses it over and over again in all sorts of different ways. And it kind of the two match together. They marry up, the water in creation and the water in the Bible. And here, famous passage, we read it often. Where does it say? John chapter 7, verse 37. In that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spoke he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." And this is just one little passage where water is mentioned, and Jesus says, and he's obviously not speaking literally. It's obvious that when he says, out of your innermost being, which is what the word belly means, shall flow rivers of living water, he's not talking about people sort of throwing up fountains of water, is he? You know, that would just be crazy, you know. People walking around, you know, water, water going everywhere. It's obviously speaking figuratively. And then it says, this spoke he of the Spirit. So if the Spirit is water, right? Water is the Spirit. And, you know, it's used in other ways. Baptism, you know, separation. You know, they leave Egypt, they go through the water, they go through the Red Sea. It tells us in Corinthians that this is actually a type of baptism, 1 Corinthians 10. And then the water destroys the Egyptians. So it has that, you know, life and death sort of thing. The flood destroyed all the Adamic creation up to that point and left eight people behind who were of the Adamic creation, you know, descendants of Adam, into whom was breathed the breath of life. And, you know, Noah, his wife, and his sons and their wives, so eight people. Water was the judgment in that case. So water is used in different ways. But here it's all about the Spirit and it's about life. And we know that water is life, don't we? You know, without water, things die and, you know, they're dead. And that's why they're so desperate to find water on Mars and places like that, because then they could sort of prove that maybe God doesn't exist, because it's not just this planet, there's all these other places. They're desperate to find water, aren't they? Absolutely desperate. And every time there's sort of supposedly some underground lake discovered on Mars, you know, it's all over the news all over the world. Yay, we found water, because they're desperate to find places where there could be other life, because this planet is just so amazing. You know, you look at it from space, it's like a pearl. It just shimmers, it's blue and green and just shimmers with life. The seas are full of life, the air is full of life, the plants and animals and everything. Anyway, this life just flows out of us by the Holy Spirit. So water must be important. And God, being who he is, we know he does things like this. You know, like you look, trees, they have a meaning, don't they, in the Bible and so on. That if he mentions something like water, if we look at the properties of water, there's going to be some clues in there. And what actually started the idea for this talk was a BBC article that came out in January. It just caught my eye. It was, you know, one of those sidebars where it has a little articles, and the title was "Water is one of the weirdest things in the universe." I thought, ooh, why is that? Well, water molecules seem simple. One big oxygen atom and two hydrogen atoms held together by covalent bonds. But water is not simple. It breaks so many of the rules of chemistry that scientists struggle to understand it. I'm quoting the BBC. There are about 70 anomalies with water in terms of the normal rules of chemistry. Breaks the rules. Here's an obvious one you all know about. The density anomaly. Water expands when it's cooled, unlike all other molecules. Ice expands. You know, and you know that because you fill a glass bottle with water and put it in the freezer, it'll crack, won't it? You put water in the ice tray and then it all bulges. You know, it expands. So that means that ice floats, right? It expands and it floats. And the ice is at 0 degrees, but it can float over the top of water that's 4 degrees without melting. And what that does, that allows animals and plants to live in the sea rather than being frozen solid from top to bottom. So you've got this ice on the top and you've got things underneath in slightly warmer water that are living plants and animals. Think about how that has, you know, done things for the Earth's biodiversity. And I should get Brian up here. This is your field, right? He'll correct me afterwards in the things that I've got wrong. But anyway, I'll do my best. Number two, water molecules move faster when they're densely packed rather than slower, unlike most other substances. Another one, hot water freezes faster than cold water and no one knows why. Each water molecule in you, so you know you're about 70, 75% water or something, that molecule has been in existence for millions, billions of years. And before it was in you, because remember you didn't exist maybe, was anyone around 100 years ago? 100 years ago, none of us were here, right? So the water that's in us now was in something else back then. So it was part of the water cycle, maybe, rain clouds and, and then falling and then evaporating and all that sort of thing. Or it could have been inside dinosaurs, the water that's in you now. Oceans, in plants, like plants bring up water from the ground and it transpires out the leaves. It could have been in bacteria, water molecules that are in you now. It moves in an endless cycle, but water doesn't degrade, does it? It stays pure. Isn't that a great example of the Lord and his word? That he doesn't degrade. People say, I'm going to look at a scripture. He doesn't degrade. The Lord's word refined through the earth. What else? Water molecules can move upwards against the forces of gravity because water molecules like to stick together. So you've got some water up here, it drags other ones up. And think about how that works in the capillaries of your body, like it gets water out to the ends, the very ends of the branches, the capillaries. And also in trees, the water goes upwards, up through that huge thing. I mean, I've forgotten the actual numbers of how much weight goes up per day, but lots, and then transpires out the leaves, which does a lot for us as well. And once, Mel and I took the kids up to 2002, we took them for a holiday up to Cape Range National Park, Exmouth, camped out there. It was really hot, it was December. Not a good time to go, but there were no other tourists around, so if you go when it's really hot, no one else is there. Anyway, we were camped next to this beautiful bay, and I'll take this big piece of 90% shade cloth and we can all sit underneath it. And we sat underneath it and I had a thermometer, it was 36 degrees. And we were trying to play Monopoly or something, in the middle of the day. We'd had our morning swim, we were having a bit of a chill out after lunch. And it was 36 degrees. Then just over there, about 10 metres away, was a tree. So I said, let's go and sit under the tree. And we sat under the tree, put the thermometer there, it was 27 degrees. 9 degrees difference from being under the 90% shade cloth to being under the tree, because the tree breathes, doesn't it? It transpires, puts out moisture. And they're just amazing things, trees. And, each one is a miracle. Another thing about water. Water is often called the universal solvent because it dissolves more substances than any other liquid. You go to Bunnings, you buy all these fancy solvents to dissolve things, but water is actually the best one of all. As water moves, it takes chemicals, minerals and nutrients with it, and that's a lot of the time we drink water and we're getting minerals and all sorts of things in that it's picked up as it's passed over other things, dissolving them. But we all know that you can sort of chuck something in a bucket of water that's really stuck and it will sort of come unstuck in the water, won't it? Even things like oils and whatnot, not all of them. Some of them are very tenacious, but water can do a lot of things. And it's all around us, just like God. He's everywhere. And it's kind of like God's little example, isn't it? Water's in the atmosphere. It's evaporating. It's transpiring. It's condensing. It's going around in this continual cycle. Like I used to teach that in primary school in grade six. The water cycle. We used to get a kettle and boil the water and then get a metal oven tray and it would condense and then it would drop down and say, well, this is like, the rain, the kettle's like the evaporation, it goes up, it condenses up there, it falls down as rain and it all goes round and round. And as I say, it doesn't degrade. And it's just everywhere. And just like God, he's everywhere, but people don't realise it. People don't realise they're walking around their body 75% water, or that water's all around them in the air and the ground and so on. And it's just like God. Amos chapter 8. And as we heard in the gift there, you know, it's all there for a reason, everything you can see and appreciate about the creation. And God just draws our attention to things. And in verse 11 here, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from the north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it." And he's using the water analogy here of we all need water to drink, otherwise we die of thirst. You know that we need the word of God. We need it just like the water that we drink. And people, eventually when they realise that they're thirsting it, they're going to go looking for it and they're going to wander from sea to sea and north to east and run to and fro and seek it but not be able to find it because of their own behaviour. But if you go back a couple of chapters, chapter 5, this is of course Amos, he's one of the earliest prophets who wrote in about 760 BC before the northern kingdom was overrun by the Assyrians, and he's talking about, you know, their punishment and so on. Here in chapter 5, in verse 21, he's talking to them for their abominable behaviour. Verse 21, I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Doesn't matter what you do, all these rituals that you have, your heart's not in it, you're not doing it right. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy viols. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Have you offered up unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? How far am I going? Yes, a bit more. But you have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and Chiun, your images, the star of your God, which you made to yourselves, your own gods, you know, things you created. Therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. And he's giving them the warning about what was about to happen about 40 years' time, where they're all deported, the 10 tribes, lost tribes of Israel, never to be returned or found again. Punishment. But he's saying, you know, I don't like the things you're doing, you're not doing them properly. But judgment is going to run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. And a little, perhaps, prediction of that passage in John 7 where Jesus says, out of our belly shall flow those rivers of living water. You know, water that is righteousness, that is judgment, all of those things. And this is a very powerful verse. It was actually used in Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, 1963, and you know, of course, a lot of what he said, he went off script there at the end, and that's the famous bit, the bit where he went off script and just ad-libbed. He's quoting the Bible, you know, and that's the bit that everyone quote says this is one of the greatest speeches of all time, because it is powerful, it's true. You know, people actually, their ears were tingling because it was God's words he was speaking. Let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. Everyone is thirsty. We know not everyone responds to the gospel, but everyone needs water to live, don't they? And the living water is actually predicted in Exodus, in chapter 17, and God says to Moses, smite the rock and the waters will come out and the people will live. You know, they were dying of thirst there in the desert. And he said, but, you know, if you do this to this rock, water's going to come out. And then later on we read in Corinthians 10, 1 Corinthians 10, that rock that followed them was Christ. He's the rock and he provides the water. And God did it literally just to show off there in the wilderness, you know, a rock splits open and water comes out and all these people, you know, millions of people drink from it. Must have filled up a huge sort of reservoir. So, you know, it's right through the Bible, this analogy, you know, this type of water being, you know, the living force, being the Spirit, being what God gives to provide life. Psalm 105. Oh, I've really just mentioned this, so I could skip this. Psalm 105, verse 41. He opened the rock and the waters gushed out and they ran in the dry places like a river. So it's talking about in Exodus chapter 17, verse 6, where that happens. We'll skip a couple of scriptures and go to Psalm 12. It's talking about how water remains pure. You know, and it's been around for millions of years and it's the same water molecules that just keep going in a cycle through the atmosphere, through plants, through animals, trees, and just keep being recycled. But they don't degrade. Okay, they pick up pollutants and they pick up things, but they can lose them again. And it's much like the word of God itself. Look at this in verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And so we know that this book and the words in it are like water that remains pure, despite the fact it was written by men, and despite the fact it's come through history and been translated and all those things, that's, in a sense, this word going through the earth, tried in a furnace of earth, but purified seven times. The Lord is well able to give us a message that is pure and not being corrupted. But when you talk to people on the street or at a door, or witnessing someone at work, and they say, but you can't trust the Bible. You know, it was written by men, and, you know, it's been translated and mistranslated and all these things. Well, you know, we know that that's not the case, that the words of the Lord are pure words, purified seven times, and that's just that number is symbolic, seven being the seal of God. It really just means infinite times. And God is able to refine his words. And we know that the New Testament tells us that holy men spoke as they were inspired by the Spirit of God, that it's God's words, not men's words. We have to do our bit to keep it pure. Just go to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel 34, verse 2. Or verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, came to the prophet Ezekiel, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? And again, there's a criticism coming from the prophet of the people, particularly in this case, the pastors, the leaders, the shepherds, the ones that were supposed to be bringing God's word to the people, instructing them. And if you go up to verse 18, he rebukes them. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, they eat that which you have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which you have fouled with your feet. So, of course, the earth is like the cursed earth of Adam. The dust on your feet, as in, you know, Jesus talked about it, shake it off your feet. You know, that is what gets into the water and muddies it up and makes it not pure anymore. And it's our job, each one of us, not just pastors, to keep the word pure, not to compromise on it, not to accept when people say, oh, you know, you don't have to do this or that, you know, cut down the words, the concision, or the unjust steward who says, oh, just take your bill and write 80 or write 50. You don't have to pay the whole lot. Don't have to do the whole lot. You can get baptized, but you don't need to speak in tongues or something like that, you know, to cut it down. You know, you're muddying it up, muddying the water. We need to keep the water pure. It's coming out of our innermost being by the Spirit, and we make sure that that water is always clear and pure, and all the people said. Okay, last scripture, Revelation 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And here it is again. The river, the water of life, it's pure, clear as crystal, and it's come from God. Jesus is associated with it, the Lamb. And in verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. So there we go, the very, very last page of the Bible. There it is again, the water. As we heard in the gifts, God's put everything in his creation for a reason, and water is one of the very significant ones. Okay, leave it there.